Mini episode 532 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
30 seconds.
In front of all these people, you're going to pull out a gun and you're going to shoot an unarmed man.
20 seconds.
So what are you going to do? 10.
Welcome to the FDH Lounge and the Justified episode recap.
It was justified.
With your original dignitaries.
Fire in the hole!
Rick Morris and Jason Jones.
You got ice cold water running through your veins.
Breaking down each Justified episode the moment they've concluded.
Did you take a peek inside the soul of Raymond Newton?
I'm just gonna let that old dog lie.
Real-time reactions. Next level analysis.
You seem to be harboring a bit of hostility there, brother.
So I've been told.
And now, your dignitaries.
Well, I believe we can take her from here.
Welcome, everyone, to mini episode number 532 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris, along with FDH senior editor Jason Jones. We are breaking down Justified episode 6.8 and also doing so in a co-branded manner with not just another TV site. And, of course, you can find the reviews over there for Justified, not just another TV site.com. And, of course, I am the columnist for Justified, also for Better Call Saul, of course. That is the linear descendant of Breaking Bad, of course, also for House of Cards. And Jason is pretty much the underboss over at NotJustAnotherTVSite.com. So we have, of course, these recap segments co-branded with that site as well. This is our second year of bringing you Justified recaps in the FDH Lounge and in going through and trying to make sense in real time of what we just saw. And sometimes it's harder than others. I know that, again, from the text that I got from Jason a few minutes ago here, he, like I, was taking notes, and he, like I think, is struggling to kind of make sense of all of it in real time. But as always, we shall do our best. Jason, let me dump it in your way. Where do you want to start tonight?
I don't have any clue as to where to begin. I will say, though, that, you know, the fandom perspective when you're watching something like this, when you just allow it to unfold, is one thing. But when you sort of let the wheels turn as it's happening, you find yourself predicting things that end up not happening but would have been intriguing. And, you know, as we talk about it, we'll find out exactly why it's not possible. But for a second there, for a second, I was trying to figure out what the likelihood was that the Avery Markham character and storyline would immediately stop detracting from the Raylan v. Boyd storyline in that Markham would agree to help Raylan to the completion end, not just the $100,000 call out. But for a moment there, I thought maybe Markham goes in Raylan's pocket and Ty Warren goes in Boyd's pocket and the better team wins in the end. But as we saw, that's not even in the cards. But it was interesting, and they had a few of those today. They had a couple different things that had you thinking one way and going another. But all in all, this was a great episode that advanced the storyline. It wasn't a climactic or epic episode, and it was bigger than the setup episodes we're used to. It was somewhere in the middle. It was very satisfying, and it did advance the story.
It absolutely did. As I remarked to you off air, and this is the last time, of course, that we're going to see Ty on the program tonight, Garrett Dillahunt wrapping up that role tonight and doing so in epic fashion. As I had remarked to you somewhat facetiously off air, now watching The Last Man on Earth with Will Forte, great new sitcom on Fox. I am one of the many people out there that finds there to be an almost distracting resemblance between Will Forte and Garrett Delahunt. So seeing this kind of serious role from a guy who looks so much like, at this point, facial hair at all, Will Forte's character is just a little bit distracting to me. But it was a great run that Delahunt had on the show this year. You and I had talked about this coming in. I had appreciated him from Deadwood, where he played not one but two roles, a very unusual thing to have happen over the course of a series, of where the directors will put the same actor in a different role. But and because, again, there's that word again, distracting. They know that the viewer can find it somewhat distracting, but they thought it was worth it to get him back in there for that. And he's had a great series of roles prior to Justified. I think we can add his name to the long list of excellent actors and actresses who've come into this show and really, really acquitted themselves in a great fashion.
Yeah, I got to say, like a lot of the characters that are not destined for a long-term run, he was one that I really, really enjoyed. And I think a lot of it was, it almost sounded like he was channeling his own inner Leonard Elmore. Now, granted, it would be a huge misstep for the showrunners to not try to maintain that same level, but it was different with Delahunt in playing Ty Warren. You really felt like he was born of that Boyd Crowder mold. And although it's the way the story had to go, I was a little disappointed to see him see the lights turn out on old Ty Warren. However, I will say that I'm still intrigued by his final words being something to the effect of not only the money, as if his parting words left us with some little tidbit of a plot point yet to be revealed. So, phenomenal performance, really. He helped carry it into this place we're at now where everything's starting to kind of build steam. Without the Ty Warren character, I don't know that the show would have felt as solid as it did to this point. Really good job. I hope he gets some recognition for this as the actor. But great character, and loved the run that he did have.
It was really excellent, and again, there wasn't necessarily a sense going into tonight that this was going to be it for him. He was, of course, the subject of that big manhunt. I had, again, told you off-air also, too. I know that you like to stay away from anything that's an overt spoiler, but I had come across the notion that he was going to meet up with Ava and Boyd, and it was really intriguing. I didn't know exactly how that would happen, of course. The likeliest way, I suppose, which I had never considered, is he'll just show up on Ava's doorstep. And he did, and he was waiting for her when she came home, and then subsequently Boyd as well. And very interesting how Boyd bluffed him out of, into dropping the gun on Ava. It's one of these things where if Ty knew that Ava and Boyd had had some mistrust between them because she's actually a federal informant, that would have informed his decision a little bit more, because he would have realized that Boyd perhaps views Ava as being disposable. I think it's a testament to the acting skills of Boyd Crowder, and you never know in these matters where Boyd Crowder's acting skills end and Walton Goggins' acting skills begin, as far as how that goes. But for Boyd to be able to bluff him into dropping the gun on Ava, I can't help but feel that before everything had gone sideways between Boyd and Ava, that Boyd would have done anything to get somebody to drop a gun on Ava. He was really taking a chance there. It just so happens he got away with it.
Yeah, the dynamic with Boyd and Ava has been forever changed since last week. I think it's safe to assume that from the moment Boyd sat in the truck and told, I want to say it was Devil in season one, that his job now is to protect his brother's wife, from that moment until last week, we would like to believe that there is no ends of the earth that Boyd would not have gone to save, ensure, or protect Ava. And that clearly is missing now. I think that he still does want this happy ending that involves her, but I don't get the sense that he would wallow in his own self-pity if she was taken out. So absolutely and very astute to notice that. It's got to play a part going forward, though. You don't turn your back on that sort of sense with this character unless there's something on the horizon yet to be revealed. So that will absolutely be interesting. And I actually didn't know that that's where you were headed with Ty Warren was going to be reacquainted with somebody. It was ballsy, though. It was intriguing, and I'm glad that it played out the way it did. I just wish that Ty Warren may have gotten another episode out of it.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that as well, just selfishly. Although, again, I'm not, and I know you're not either, second guessing the storytelling because they did what they had to do with it. But yeah, it just, again, great minds think alike, because I was about to say the same thing, which is that it's got to come back up. It subsequently has to come back up that really Boyd took a gamble with Ava's life, and he got away with it, so he's going to stand there afterwards and say all's well that ends well, but Ava's got to know damn well what happened, and that's a direct result of the changed dynamic between them. And their ability to turn on a dime, both of them, was really very interesting. Once Raylan shows up on the doorstep, he has convinced Avery, and we'll talk more about that, to put up the $100,000 bounty on him. Little did we know the payoff would come not too many scenes later. Were you as shocked as I was that Boyd just immediately decided to grab the bird in the hand and say he's out back? Because he'd worked up this plan. Ty seemed like he was going to be critical to helping to get at the safe, and it seemed like that's where they were going. Yeah, I'm not going to criticize them for expending energy on a wild goose chase, because it was a great part of the storytelling and they faked me out, but I didn't think Boyd was going to do that, just because, again, he put the time and energy into trying to think up how to use this guy to his own ends. What did you think in that moment?
Exactly. You know, you're watching it and you're seeing this thing unfold. And if I may, if you have any kids around, muffle their ears for a second. The whole back and forth about Raylan being infatuated with Boyd's balls, I thought was a nice sort of detracting from the attention of Ty Warren being in the house. Their typical back and forth was very vintage Raylan v. Boyd. And going even further back to discussions we've had on the air about this was our typical standoff. This was, wind and the old West town and two guys with their hands over their guns ready to go in a verbal sense, and that was beautiful. But the moment that Boyd says he's out back, I don't know a single person, at least personally, that I know that has been following this show from the beginning that wouldn't have sat upright in their chair watching that and go, wait, did that really just happen? Because there's no way anybody saw that. Maybe at some point Boyd gives it up, but he literally stopped on a dime and made a 180 that I don't think anybody saw coming.
Yeah, Pennywise and Pound Foolish, and it looks like that's how it's going to play out. For this next point about what Raylan said before they went inside, there's probably no way to integrate this into the rest of what we're going to discuss tonight. So I guess we'll just sort of leave this as an island unto itself and then kind of get back to some of the other action things here. But as far as the setup, the themes for tonight, Raylan clearly trying to escape history, as we saw in the cold open. He goes through Arlo's belongings that had been kept. He burns them at the very end. He's out there in the shed and is, haunted by the visage and the voice of Arlo. Great to get Raymond Barry back on the show. A wonderful surprise. You know, when you talk about all the actors coming back in for the final run, getting him as the disembodied ghost voice was a nice thing. In the course of all of this, in the visit from Winona last week, that again, you and I were talking about this, we didn't get a mid-season finale here, but very clearly, in retrospect at least, we had the mid-season development sets up the final run. Raylan's looking at this differently now that Winona's been up here with the baby. He has a very tangible view of the life that he can have in front of him and the life that he wants to put behind him. Having said all of that, with him going through his issues and all of that, him putting Boyd on notice. Again, Boyd already knows that Raylan has the CI and what the game plan is. But that sort of struck me as a moment of Raylan needing some catharsis at the expense of getting the job done. I didn't really kind of feel that moment from his perspective. And I'm not questioning the writers. I guess I'm questioning, if you will, the judgment of Raylan in doing that. It might have felt necessary for him to put Boyd on notice, but that can't be a useful part of wrapping him up in this huge RICO investigation they got going on.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned that, I did jot down one quote that I thought was particularly fun, and that was, "Don't you have something better to do, like building a case against the magnificent Boyd Crowder set by Boyd Crowder in that moment you speak of?" Yeah, I think this might have been a little bit of Raylan's own, let's just say the opposite of his better angels speaking out. This was a little bit of his ego. The putting Boyd on notice was probably not tactfully a good idea, but it was something that from time to time fits what Boyd, what Raylan does. From time to time, he's going to let his ego talk more than his mind. So I agree with you that I question it from the perspective of Raylan's character. I don't question what the showrunners are doing, because I'm sure it all builds to a bigger thing. So I'm sure it's important for some reason. However, that combined with the whole Arlo Givens spirit walk thing, Raylan may be facing some, they may be small now, but there may be something that's going to build to become a problem before this is all over with. And I'm still confused at what the heck was going on with the digging up the graves and then not, and then putting people in different places. I don't understand what that was all about, especially when it seemed like he kind of turned on the reverence toward his own mother. But there seems to be an attack of conscience on some level with Raylan, his character at least, that we probably haven't seen the end of.
He's probably figuring, the best I can assume, that there's not a lot of propriety in selling the property and leaving the graves on there. And again, it seemed to be that property was in play and that he might be selling the property to Avery as part of the deal there with getting Walker. And that whole thing too, again, and his judgment in terms of getting into bed with Avery to the extent that he did, again, any missteps that Raylan makes, you can only, and this is such a weird thing when you're talking about a character's motivations versus blaming the writers, because the writers are responsible for everything. But if people understand what I'm saying, I think you can only lay these things at the feet of the writers if they don't mean to have the characters making mistakes from time to time. And we all know that Raylan is chock full of, not that he's error prone, but that he will do things out of stupidity or ego or what have you. So the question always comes back to, is this consistent with his character? And I think everything tonight was, and that's all you can ask out of the writers. Again, his deal with Avery, it was really kind of interesting. And when you go back to the origins of this, earlier in the season, what him and Tim were tracing through the realtor who is now dead. Again, there are people who died at the hands and who were blackmailed by Avery and his crew, and surely Raylan hasn't forgotten this. and it's bound to come back up again at the end. And that Avery is not, nor has he ever been, a good law-abiding citizen, regardless of the technical legality of how he made his money the last couple of years, if you want to isolate that part of his career. But between that part of it, between going out there with good old Zach Randolph and kind of nosing around his place and finding the mining tools, Raylan was working other angles as well that clearly are going to come into play in the last couple of episodes.
I want to be clear about one thing, and we really at this point probably shouldn't have to clarify whether we're talking today or last week or last year, but we're never in a position to question the showrunners or to criticize the writers because we've got no reason to. We take all this and we question it in the moment for the time being, but I think we both still revel in the leash of some sort that says, hey, do what you got to do because I'm here for the ride. So I don't think we're ever guilty of criticizing the writers or the showrunners. That said, though, I couldn't agree with you more on Raylan because all of this may feel like missteps or mistakes or overreaching, but 100% of it fits in line with Raylan's character. They have not deviated. They did not drop the ball. They are giving us something that has yet to be paid off. So I got no issues with tonight's episode, and especially with Raylan. I'm just curious to know, to what end does the Arlo thing or any such ego move play into the final moment? Because we don't know who wins. I think we all know who we'd like to win, but that's just it. Is this the breadcrumbs that leads to a huge misstep that causes Raylan to essentially lose in the end? Or was this just, reminding us that Raylan is fallible on some level?
Well, and when you and I have spent a good part of this year talking about what was supposed to be the mano-a-mano final battle this season between Raylan and Boyd, how it's devolved into this sort of three-way dance, with Avery being part of the mix. And again, Avery and Raylan, they've sort of circled one another, but their alliance of convenience tonight is not a huge shock because they were not at odds nearly to the extent that Boyd and Avery were. So you go to that part of it, and again, really, Avery and Catherine sort of the puppet masters of the two sides. Catherine is the first one that sicked Boyd on Avery, although she's playing innocent on that. You have to think as this is going along, that whole original seed of how Avery came to be indispensable to the final season is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger as we go along here. The scene that was very, very intriguing tonight, and when you've got great actors involved, like we saw in that scene with Catherine and with Art, the meeting in the hotel room there, she gives him the evidence. She's trying to steer Art and the marshals a certain way vis-a-vis the snitch that got her husband killed versus who got the federal prosecutor killed. You got to think that that's going to be a big part of this as well, and something that we thought was going to be just sort of background details to the fight of Boyd versus Avery. The background details themselves may end up very huge, I think, in the last five episodes, digging into this old case and possibly even having some names mentioned that we haven't seen yet on this show. I know that a couple of the folks are dead. The one that supposedly killed Catherine's husband is dead. Of course, the former federal prosecutor is dead. But methinks that the details of this decade and a half old case are going to come back in and be a big part of this. And we are going to find out definitively, I think, who the snitch was.
Well, I don't disagree with any of that. But beyond that, I'd like to say that I've got a feeling there's more to this than we're even giving credit to. Catherine is cryptic at best. It could just be a money grab and revenge. And if it is, great, it'll work into the story just fine. But the fact that Catherine keeps seems to keep coming up in very vague dialogue that would suggest that she's essentially the Kentucky floozy. I mean, she knows every guy in town on some intimate level. And the fact that she's so cold about everything really makes me wonder if all of Markham's money and revenge for the death of her husband is really it. And she did a great job selling that to John Blaine.
Dart,
yes. There was a lovely little pocket of that scene where she dug deep and tried to really express how what happened to her with the death of her husband really scarred her and changed her life, and she wants revenge for that. It was a great job, but something tells me there's something more going on there. Either way, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's going to play out and be a major factor in the end game. It absolutely has to be.
Well, a husband that she was cuckolding the whole way, which, as far as I'm concerned, undermines the honesty of that by about 100%. Ironically enough, doing this in real time as FX is replaying the episode, this is exactly where it's coming on the screen again. I will just say, too, from a fan service perspective here, which I know the writers and directors are cognizant of as well, I want to thank them for giving us the scene with Nick Searcy and with Mary Steenburgen, as well as a belated thank you to them for last week's scene with Nick Searcy and Sam Elliott. It's great to just get these combinations and have these characters in there sparring with one another, and it's a delight. It's almost like fantasy booking, I guess, from a pro wrestling perspective. You know, you'd like to see this wrestler against this wrestler. I bet it'd be a hell of a match. These are great scenes that we were treated to. And again, in the setup for this, and in what Catherine Hale has unleashed, this battle with Boyd and with Avery, again, you can never tell where Justified is going to go with this stuff, and I think it's very, very much to their credit. You and I don't think ever would have believed that we would see a scenario, particularly this whole, you know, I've been joking about this for a period of time here, this game of Dig Dug that Boyd has going on here, reminding me of the old arcade game there that I used to love so much, that they're going to attack the pizza portal that way. The fact that Raylan would now be on to this whole thing is unbelievable. I don't exactly know what Raylan had in mind vis-a-vis the $100,000 being a sort of rat trap for Boyd, because it just looks like $100,000 that he gets free and clear. Unbeknownst to him, unbeknownst to Boyd, that's exactly how it played out. Or maybe Raylan is starting to suspect that, because that put him down there in the vault at the pizza portal, able to hear the tremors from below, a little bit of an explosion or two, I think. He was able to report back to Rachel at the end that this is what's going on. So this operation that Boyd and his crew has is ongoing. Raylan has now been tipped to it. Raylan definitely got the sense from talking to good old Zach Randolph here that Zach is maybe playing a little bit of a game on Boyd also, too. So the marshals are much more clued into what's going on with this, I think, than clearly any of us would have anticipated. I mean, I know I'm speaking for you when I make that assertion, and maybe you'll tell me I'm wrong, but I mean, I don't know how any of us could have assumed that the marshals would get this kind of knowledge. I think we all thought it would be reactionary when the battle ensued, and that they would be coming in to try and clean up at the end, versus now they have knowledge as the operation is underway. I am fascinated by that.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, not in the slightest. Furthermore, the way you just laid that out drew together some connecting some dots that I apparently missed along the way, but yeah, at first you think maybe it's just Boyd is trying something to draw out, or Raylan's doing something to draw Boyd out. $100,000 is relatively inconsequential when you think how much Markham probably has put it towards this, and then the fact that Markham needs land, and that's something that Boyd can supply, makes that interesting. What makes it more interesting is that Boyd took the bait And I think this is another one of those themes that we're going to see. Raylan's trying whatever he can to draw out the mongoose because Raylan would like to end this and get home, or at least start a new life with his former and back on again love interest and mother of his child. While at the same time, Boyd, and I think Ava really must have struck a nerve that he's going to have to come to grips with. Now, I don't believe that there's not much difference between 100,000 and 10 million. That's a lot of zeros. But she did kind of hit a point when she said, is even that going to be enough? 100,000 is not enough to start a new life. Who's to say that when Boyd's faced with that 10 million, if that's going to be enough? So we've got a whole bunch of stuff happening here. The angle with Zachariah is a whole other thing. I have no idea where they're going with that, but as you pointed out, it does seem like maybe he's stringing Boyd along for something off on the side. So all these things are coming together, whereas 5 weeks ago, we were just thinking, okay, we kind of think we know what's up, but have no idea how far or deep the rabbit hole goes. And I think we're starting to get an idea of what that scope looks like.
And it is very exciting. There's no question about that. The way that it's all playing out, and again, new questions continuing to come up as other ones are being addressed. And you have to think that moment tonight that you're referring to with Boyd and Ava, that's going to go down as when it's all said and done, because there's always a point in time whether the good guys win in the course of a series or the bad guys, and it's usually the good guys. There's always a minute for the losing side for them to reconsider and say, you know, that's the moment when it all got away from me. And I think if you're a fan of Boyd and Ava, that's going to be the moment that you point to at the end of this series, because I don't think it's going to be a happy ending for them, and I think that tipped it off, didn't it? That's going to be the moment where if Ava could have only convinced him to stop being Boyd for 5 minutes and hit the road with the 100K, they could have had their happy ending to some degree. I understand 100K is not enough to live on the rest of your life, but versus the end that's probably waiting for them, Jason, you got to think, right? That was their window.
Yeah, I mean, this is your typical sort of Bonnie and Clyde type moment where the sense of greed and excess and the pursuit for the next biggest thing at some point is going to be the downfall. Without question, it feels like this was that moment where they could have walked away. And it's not like I believe Boyd Crowder has $0 to his name. That 100,000 might have become two or three. He might have been able to scrounge together enough to actually get a nice little base of a new life going. But that's just not in him. As much as we saw Raylan was really Raylan today, Boyd was really Boyd as well. And yeah, if this is going to end badly for them, or him specifically, we may look back and say this was that moment.
You got to think so. Final observation that I've got for tonight, Jason, is this being episode 6.8, I remember 5.8 a year ago, and that's the one where we were all kind of waiting to see what the direction was going to be and for things to kind of stop being confusing in the Crow season a year ago. And we went into 5.8 with some expectations, and they didn't meet our expectations. But again, the folks over at Hollerback, another Justified podcast, they really freaked out. They're the guys that did like a 3-minute podcast that week in protest of it. I remember 5.8 a year ago. That was a real flashpoint of frustration. You and I were a little frustrated and had some questions. They went much further than us. All I can say is, and I'll be very interested to check out their podcast this week, because from my perspective, Jason, what a difference a year makes. Because we're sitting here with 5 episodes to go, and I think we have, again, you and I have really been loving the ride this season. For me, I thought we did some great stuff last year, but it's so much more fun to do this when you're enjoying it every week. And again, as I think back on 5.8 a year ago, I think of what a vast difference it is and what a great job the writers and directors have done in recalibrating the direction of this thing.
Yeah, I'll be polite and not be too rough on them. But when you're dealing with a show like this of the quality of Justified, you have to assume that everything is done for some sort of a reason and wasn't just that they dropped the ball. And I remember that show very vividly. I remember our review of said show very vividly. Although it might have felt different than what we would hope for, I think we always knew that this was what we were building towards, even throughout season five and whatever, however you felt about it. But now we're starting to see it. We're starting to see the landscape sort of come into shape, and that is phenomenal. It's why we do these things. It's why we watch shows like this with such an avid enthusiasm, because we know that when it's all over with, it's either going to be catastrophically bad or exhilaratingly great.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IAmBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, The Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.